evening. It's now time for us to come together. And if it wouldn't be too much to ask, it seems like we're kind of sprawled out a little bit. If you're feeling a little lonely, come a little closer to your neighbor. Just a little bit. Once again, I'm saying it with a smile. I know this usually works only on television, but come on down. That's better. We can huddle up together like a family. Yeah, that's right. That's good. Once again, it's so good to see each and everyone that's out this night. Of course, just prominent on our minds and our hearts, keep praying for the Sloan family, for Susan, the boys. Our hearts and certainly our prayers go out to them. Yes, sir. All right. Another confirmation, my mouth isn't quite as big as I think it is. Tonight, our theme is be angry and sin not, taken from Ephesians. And we're going to have a variety of passages that we'll meditate on. I must say that the first half of our gathering is for the purpose of training. And we have this time allotted for our young people to be able to stand up in a forum like this and to be able to exercise their skills, develop new ones, all for the glory of God. And so we'll have several passages of scripture that will touch on this theme of what it means to be angry and sin not. Some Old Testament examples as well as new. With that, we'll begin.
Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold.
Sure. All right, Exodus 32, 19 through 21. And as soon as he came near the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, Moses' anger burned hot. And he threw the tablets that was in his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf that they had made and burned it with fire and ground it into powder and scattered it on the water and made the people of Israel drink it. And Moses said to Aaron, "What did this people do to you that you have brought such a great sin upon them?"
Mark 3, verses 1 through 5. And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Step forward." And then he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to kill?" But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them in anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other.
Acts 17, 16 through 17. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him, and he beheld a city full of idols.
So he reasoned in the synagogue with Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with them that met him.
Ephesians 26-27. Scriptures say, when you are angry, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Don't give the devil a chance.
Our God is an awesome God.
Something I wanted to say just in general about singing. Something that I enjoy a lot, and something that I meant to mention last month and forgot to get up here and mention this, but I think it's appropriate considering the timing. Singing is one of those things that I think that universally we all enjoy doing. We may not all have the greatest singing voice, but we all enjoy doing it. Over the holidays, we visited a couple times a congregation that my in-laws attend, and it's a congregation of 700-800 people. But probably about two or three out of every 10 people are actually singing in that congregation. And I come in here after the holidays, and I see the complete opposite of that. I see everyone engaged in singing, everyone involved in it. It's important to you. And I think that has a lot of symbolism with the life of a congregation and the dedication that the elders of this congregation have had to singing, bringing people in here for singing meetings, and especially the dedication that Joel had to singing within this congregation. And I think we can all remember that, but as we go on from this day, I just wanted to let you know how uplifting it was to me to experience what I experienced over the holidays and come back here and just feel how blessed we are to have that a big part of our congregation. Thanks.
Bow with me, please. Dear God, thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us. Thank you for Mr. Joel and his life, and comfort his family. And thank you for all those that are sick and hurt and aren't feeling well. Please help the Petties, Papa Jack's family. In Jesus' name, amen.
I do want to mention, since it's been mentioned about our singing, it's coming up, write it down. March the 28th, 29th, and 30th. Now, the 30th is Tommy's birthday. He'll be 89 years old. And it's Kathy and ours anniversary, and we've been married 20 years. Seems like 46. No, it's 46, seems like 20. Steve Garrett on Friday night, 7 p.m. will be the starting time of our services. Please be here early so we don't come straggling in and mess it up. On Saturday, 5:30 to 6:30 will be the children will have the opportunity to learn singing, and he'll give you the basic principles on leading. And he said, I can't wait. He's excited. Sunday services, this morning service will be service in song. Classes will be as normal. Have regular classes, but the service that morning will be service in song. Sunday afternoon, 4:30 to 5:30, men, it will be your opportunity to come in and have Steve help you. And I want to put this in the teenage group and up. And then the service that night at 6 o'clock, it's just going to be a singing. And I think if you've never experienced a weekend in song, you're in for a real treat. If you have, tell your neighbors and friends.
Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, if there is any good repute, any excellence, any worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things.
Number 797. Lord, we come before thee now. 797. We will sing the first and last verse. Lord, we come before thee now.
Proverbs chapter 14, verses 29. Again, that's Proverbs 14, verse 29. He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly.
I might need that. Colossians 3:21, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged.
I will be reading from Psalms 37, verse 8. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath and not fret. It only causes harm.
I'll be reading Colossians 3:8. But now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obedience, talk from your mouth.
Jonah 4:1-5. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is it not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, Do you do well to be angry? Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells test me so. Let the ones who can be wrong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Last Lord's Day, our shepherds presented to the congregation, shared with us an outline of plans and goals and objectives for 2014. And want our elders to know we appreciate that and coming forward, giving us some direction that you'd like to see the congregation head for this year. One goal mentioned was home Bible studies. And I might ask a question to you. What does a home Bible study mean to you? Does it mean you study by yourself? Yeah. Study with your children? Absolutely. Study with friends? Obviously. Study with your spouse? It's great one-on-one with your husband or your wife. Study with relatives? Yes. Study at home. As a group, some that you invited over. You may study at a coffee shop. There's many times I go to a coffee shop and I see some folks sitting there at a table reading their Bible. Don't know what they're studying, but they're open the Bible to study. Study on a mountain trail. That's one of my favorites. And I've done that with friends and family. Be up in the high mountains and sit down and study God's Word. I'd suggest that we try to commit to one day a week to grow through these studies and sow the seed, the Word of God. In one of our classes this year, or this quarter, we have a book that I think you're familiar with. You know, it's going to take up so much space, did you? It's called The Big Picture of the Bible. It's a guide to learning the Bible story. And I would recommend that you buy a copy for yourself to study and to hand out. Barbara found them on Amazon for $18 plus shipping, so that's not a bad price. It's actually a very low-cost investment. And it's just another tool. It doesn't take the place of God's word, and we know that. But it is a good aid. And as Christ says, recorded in Luke 24 and 44, then he said to them, "These are my words I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And this particular study book, there's a lot of that references in there. And there's about 365 or more references and prophecies in the Old Testament concerning our Lord. And this covers a lot of that. And this is what Christ said when he left. And his words to the apostles were after his crucifixion, right before he was ascending, that what they were to do. And as we know, that it goes on and recorded, Luke records in the book of Acts, they went to Jerusalem as they were told to do and waited there. And so, again, I'd encourage you to take a look at this book if you haven't so far. It's been an excellent tool for me to remind me. And I look at that and I say, oh, yeah, I remember that. And I remember that. And it helps strengthen my faith and be reminded of what Christ prophesied, or what was prophesied of Christ in the old law and what was actually has been fulfilled. So take a look at it. And I've got with me the addresses if you'd like to know how to get it and where to order. I'm not a salesman. That's my profession for 40-some years. But I'm not making anything off of this speech. I'm not trying to sell anything. Just a word of encouragement to try to set up some home Bible studies. And again, if it's just you and one other person, if it's just yourself, try to commit to that one day that you're going to continue to study and have a thought in mind and a goal and a project to study God's Word. Thank you.
Andrew asked you to move forward, so I'm going to ask you to do a little more participation. It's a real simple test for what I need to find out. So I want to see if you can stand up. Everyone can stand up. Awesome. Even got Dog Bruner up back there. Now, hey, look at him. There he is. Now, let me see. Can you take your hands like this one time, put them over your head, and bring them back down? Beautiful. All right, you can sit down. All right. Come back to that in just a second. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 6. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister. Tommy, Adam, you guys need to preach from this book. That's what you do to be a good minister, he says. If you preach these things, you're a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourselves towards godliness. So don't miss the part about that and what I'm getting ready to talk about. It's about exercising ourselves towards godliness and spiritual things. I have a little bit of a physical challenge I want to talk about in just a second. But understand the greatest exercise any of us can ever engage in is exercising of our faith. All right? 4, verse 8, bodily exercise profits a little. Okay? So there is some benefit to physical exercise. He says in verse 8, but, he contrasts right away from that, really quick, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. So please don't take my physical challenge out of context and understand what life is really all about. It's about us spiritually exercising ourselves. All right. So February, the weekend of February the 22nd and 23rd, that's a Saturday and a Sunday, I'm going to be challenging all of you to come over to the CrossFit crib in memory of Mr. Joel Sloan, and we're going to do a little CrossFit exercise there and generate some income to dump over to the Sloan family. So if you can stand up, which all of you did, even the Dog Bruner did, and you can sit down, you can do some air squats with us, all right? and you all did this and came back down so I can have you do some thrusters and push press with us, even with a PVC pipe. I won't even give you weight if it's going to cause you harm. Seems like we're all scared of physical challenges. But I want you to mark that date down. Joel was a CrossFitter. He started CrossFit right before he got injured. And I'm all the time trying to make sure that as I go into the physical side of life, that I don't unplug from the spiritual side of life. And I think this is a cool opportunity to help me try to merge the both of these. And so that was all I was going to do. And then somebody at one of my gym trainers said, hey, what about let's do this every year from now on until these boys get out of college and dump this into an educational fund for the boy? I said, okay, let's do it. You know, they don't even know Joel. Okay, they know me, and I was just pumped to see the kind of people that were there. So I think even if you're not going to exercise, what it would say for the Sloans, I've already checked with Susan. She will be in town that weekend. She will be there. What kind of moral support and kind of a little spark plug could we give a couple weeks after a rough time in their life and just be there? So there will be more to come. Bodily exercise profits a little, all right? Don't get too hung up on it. But if you could think about clearing up that date on that weekend, I think we would do some good for the Sloan family, and I encourage all of you to come out and be a part of that. But exercise your faith, way more important than the exercise of the body. Thank you. February 22nd and 23rd. We don't know when we're going to do this. We were going to go on Saturday, but another CrossFit gym that had a lot to do with Joel's life when he was first into CrossFit really wants to be there, and they can't be there on that Saturday. So we may end up doing it in a Sunday afternoon slot, like 1 to 5 or something like that. So February 22nd or 23rd, we'll lock that down this week, though. Thank you.
I love you, Lord. I love
779.
I love you, Lord.
That's 853. We'll sing the first and the last verse of 853, when we all get to heaven. We all get to heaven. If we let us sing. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace in the mansion bright and blessed. We'll remember us the best when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be, and when we all see Jesus.
973. Everybody will be happy over there. Now, does everybody know this song? If you have it, let us sing. There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon the glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there.
Have thine own way. If you could, please stand. If you haven't, let's sing. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Seated. And this isn't the invitation yet, but we're leading up to it, so I'm double dipping. I saw an opportunity. There's a verse in Corinthians that has really just struck me the last couple of weeks, and it's Paul beseeching them to be open, that their hearts are, Paul's has opened his heart to them, but the Corinthians were holding back. And I felt convicted by that because I'm a somewhat private person, I think in part because of some of the things in my past that have been difficult for me to stop looking at and looking ahead. And it was September 17th of 2009, then Stan and Becky Sulk from the Newton Church of Christ picked me up and brought me here to meet with Richard and Ann, and I was baptized into Christ. And it's just, it's been unbelievable what God has chosen to help me through over these last four and a half years. But I remember before being picked up, I literally had the phone in my hand, and I was going to call them and say, forget about it. I don't want you to pick me up. I was so wrought with anxiety. I don't know what it was, whether it was, you know, Satan trying to prevent me from doing what I had read and knew that God's word had told me to do. Regardless, I didn't know what to do, and I was trying to pray, and I was like a newborn colt. I was just sort of tripping over myself. And so all I knew to do was just to open the Bible, and I came to Psalm 40. And I just wanted to share the first three verses with you all because God's word is living, and we all come from different experiences and different backgrounds. And God brings us all through, and he touches our lives in different ways, but the truth is always the same, that Jesus is our Savior, and it's through him that we'll make it home to our Father in heaven. But the first four verses, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. It's my hope and prayer that God can use my life to cause others to see and to fear, especially those people that I used to hang out with and that were just not headed in the right direction. And I just want to praise God for what he's done. He is his truth. When he proves his truth in your life, it's undeniable. And I just wanted to share that with y'all. Thanks.
Is there anyone else who would like to come forward? Good word of encouragement or song?
851, 851. I'll fly away. If you have it, let us sing.
Some glad morning when this life is over.
Whole congregation. Y'all know that Margie's heading out to Florida tomorrow. She's finally going to get her laser surgery on her spine, and some very loving, caring people in this congregation have just been tremendous at encouraging us and helping to make this happen. And I just want to say thank you. I also want to give a word about our topic, be angry and sin not. I am a man who am well acquainted with anger. I spent most of my life as an angry, violent man. I learned over the years that in the human psyche, there are basically two root emotions. One is love, and the other is fear. Every other emotion you have stems out of those two. Anger comes out of fear. And I believe God knew this when he made us. And that's why he told us that perfect love casts out fear. So if you want to know the key to overcoming anger, it's love. I spent years going to anger management classes to no avail whatsoever because I never addressed the root of the problem. Finally, through the grace of God, events came about in my life that allowed me to examine and overcome the fears that were at the root of my anger. I'm happy to say I'm not a violent man anymore. I'm actually a man that would rather take one on the cheek than return in kind. This brings me to my second word of admiration for this congregation. Most of you know I come from a prison record. I have a history that is not just bad, it's downright despicable. It is the kind of record that most people, when they hear about it, makes their skin crawl, and they have this gut reaction that just wants to run the other direction. And I don't blame you for that. That is to be expected. But knowing this, knowing that that gut reaction occurs in people, causes me tremendous awe. When I see how I'm treated here, agape love, we hear a lot about it being a sacrificial love, and it is. But you want to know the most amazing thing about agape love to me? It's a love that you have to choose to do. It's not a love that comes naturally. We're told to love our enemies, to do good to those who hurt us and spitefully use us. That does not come naturally. That is agape love being put in action by a choice. And what I have seen in this congregation repeatedly are people who choose to love me. In spite of my unlovable past. Don't feel guilty for having a gut reaction. That's natural. That's earthy. But be proud to know that in spite of your gut reactions, you love God enough to put the gut reaction aside and love me anyway. That's when you're most like Jesus, when you choose to forgive and love anyway. I love all y'all. And I'm the lucky one because I can say it comes naturally because y'all are a very lovable group.
not much to say after that. The elders have seen fit for us to pause at this very moment for we to collect our thoughts and for us to formally enter into worship service. I wanted to outline a few things that we will do before the invitation is given. I'm going to sing a song. I've asked Dean to lead a song, lead us in a few verses of a song. And then Brother Jackson will lead us in opening prayer. I believe he may have a few words to say prior to that, but we'll be led in prayer. And then Brother Breedy will extend the invitation, and then we'll be led after that by Dean Franklin. So if you would, Dean, please.
Seven nineteen. Love one another. We'll sing the first and last verse. First and second verse is what I meant to say. My conscience told me different. All I get to say is I was done with I'll Fly Away. And then the other comment, I was completely done. I don't know why I ever try to get up here to do anything. It just, you guys are awesome. That's all I want to say. Miss you guys a lot. Love one another. Ladies, y'all be ready because I usually let y'all sing, so I'll lead you.
Pray in a second, but and I probably should pray first and make my comments second so I can get through the prayer. I can't think what we have been involved in this morning in our worship, and I've made a couple comments to some others, what we've been singing and talking about tonight, what we've been experiencing this last couple days with the notice that we got that Joel had passed away. The suffering and what's been in front of us. I don't know that we could have been in a better place and done what we've done than what we've been doing today. Comforting one another, being in each other's midst. My comment to Tommy and Adam was, I didn't hear anything over the microphone this morning, that wasn't spot on and very encouraging and uplifting. The singing was great. The lesson was great. Larry on the table, the comments he made, just you wouldn't have known that we had the event that we've had in staring us, what we've got going on. And this is a good congregation. This is a great congregation. Good hearts, good-hearted people, people that care and love and care for one another. And it's a privilege and an honor to be part of this. And I appreciate all of you, and Mrs. Kenny, and you too. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Father, we're so thankful for our relationship with you, made possible by your love and the sending of your Son. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. And we thank you so much for your grace that you would reach out to us in spite of all our ugliness and our sin and extend to us your hand of mercy and your Son. We thank you, and we thank you for Jesus. Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for the efforts that go forth here to teach, to grow our faith, to worship you, to be edified, to care for one another, to love one another. We are blessed, and we thank you. Father, we pray special prayer for those of our number that are sick. We pray for Jim and Pat Ridgway, and Bobby Ketchy, and Margie's upcoming surgery. We pray that you'll bless them and help them, Father, to get well. There are many others, Father, of our number that are sick, and we pray in their behalf as well. And pray you'll care for their needs. And we pray, Father, also for Kathy Fisher and the loss of her mother. And pray that you'll comfort her and her family as they go through this time of loss. And we also pray, Father, for Susan and the boys and their family. We pray that you'll continue to bless them and comfort them. And help them, Father, to be encouraged. And we pray, Lord, that you'll take this hurt from them. We're thankful for the opportunity we've had to know Joel and the influence that he's had on all of us in so many positive ways. And we're thankful for that time we've had together. Thank you, Father, for all that you do. We pray all things, Lord, that do your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Like 2 or 3 months ago, Tommy sent me an email and asked if I'd do this invitation. It didn't dawn on me till today that this invitation is standing in your host way to watch the Super Bowl, so we're going to test how patient you are, and you can't get angry with me, I mean, because God's word says you can't. So. But I've been told that if I go too long that by Brother Bettis that he would turn the sound off, so you all are safe. The scripture tonight, it's Ephesians 26. I went ahead and put 27 in because there's a comma after 26 and a period after 27, so wanted to get the full verse in. Our verses, and it says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Not to try to get into too much of a word study, but the word angry here, is it's the only time, it's a noun here, and it's the only time it's used in Scripture. And it literally means that you're so angry that you're literally shaking. And so in just reading this, how I was raised, I was raised, anger's a sin. and that I should never get angry. And so that, well, setting that aside, obviously God has given us emotions, and we should treasure those emotions, because when we feel those, we know that we have a compassionate heart and a merciful heart, and there's, when we see unrighteousness, it can make us angry. But how do we be angry and choose and not sin? And I think that's the challenge here. To me, the best way to start is to look at Scripture and look for an example. So I'm going to quickly flip to Matthew 26 and read 47 through 52. And you all, this should be a well-known account. And while he was speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Now we've come to know that that's Peter, and John tells us that. Now I would say this is where Peter was angry, but he sinned, and that he did not control himself. And so I just wanted to look at a few scriptures to sort of peel back the layers as far as what God's guidance is for us on this. So just another account of that is in John. John 18, verses 10 and 11. It said, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which the Father has given me? God uses, throughout Scripture, there's examples. God uses evil people to sanctify and to mature his people. And when we respond with anger, a lot of times, for me anyway, personally, it's out of a sense of self and either protecting something, or I think I've just lost something that I thought I had, and I get angry. But God doesn't want us to live that way. God wants us to trust him. And so when we exhibit anger and then we lash out at other people, one, we may be preventing God trying to mature us through some type of situation or tribulation in our life. But secondly, we're focused on the wrong thing. If we always focus on Jesus, truly, what is there really to get angry about? Amen. So that's, to me, really stands out here as far as how we should manage this. Let's look at another scripture, Romans 12, 17 through 21, and I promise I'll try to be fast. All right, thanks. Do we do that for you? No. Romans 12, 17 through 21. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, and as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in doing so you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. God is in control. We aren't. God will take care of things in their due time. He's long-suffering. There's some people that will do evil to us, and if we responded angrily, that just justifies how they behave to us. So what we should do is we should always answer evil with good. And over time, that may be through heaping hot coals on their head. It may cause them to change. You may see them change because they may have always encountered people that always did something to them, so they're trying to hit them before they're hit themselves. And so we need to give them an example to do that. Let's go to 1 Peter 2, 15 through 17. And it says, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. If we just do good to people, even if they've done something to us that would justify us being angry, if we are still good to them, then that puts them to silence. They cannot say anything about us. But if we respond, that gives the enemy a foothold. That gives Satan a foothold. It gives everybody a reason to justify what they've done. So we just need to be careful there. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. And this is where I was thankful for Kenny, what you shared, and that I agree with you. I mean, we have two choices. It's either really anger. Typically, we get angry because we're fearful of something and we're trying to push it away. But we either there's fear or there's love. And so I think most of y'all got there faster than I did. But you all should know this scripture very well. So 4 through 7 is love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And this is where God wants us to go with this. I mean, God is love, and we have a choice. If we respond with anger, I mean, that's really, we're showing ourselves to be children of the devil. If we respond with love, we're children of God. And nothing sums that up better than 1 John 3:10. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For me, before I became a Christian, along with Kenny, I mean, I got angry at a lot of things in this world. You look at things in the government and things done under the cloak of darkness, and it's a struggle. But when you have a foundation in Christ, then that's how you can overcome. He's our overcomer. And when we look to him, he gives us strength and he helps us to not respond. We can be angry and it can be justified, but we respond with love. And to me, we'd notice Jesus walked among us. He got all caught up in the clamor, but he would find a way. He was in constant communion with his Father. He would go out into the wilderness. He'd go up to the mountain. He'd go away and pray. And I think that's our challenge today. We're like Abraham. We've made a decision. We've pitched our tent with Bethel on the west and I on the east. And what we need to do is we can't let this busyness of this world get so overcome that we lose our communion with God, because as soon as we do that, we're apt to respond to somebody with anger. We're apt to return evil for evil. And so I couldn't do that without Jesus. And if there's anybody here who does not know Jesus and who hasn't accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, would ask that you come forward now as together we sing.
Far away from God, now I'm coming.
Worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ the way that we have. If you have not had an opportunity to take part, Lord's Supper, everything is prepared. Just simply go to the back of the auditorium to the left, through the double doors, through the left. Now we'll be led in closing prayer.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and God, thank for this day that you bless us with, Lord. Thank God that we can come here today to hear another portion of your word, Lord. Let us be strengthened by it. Let us bear patience, bear wisdom through the things that we learn tonight, Lord. Let us be fruitful in the days that come about us. Thank you, Lord, for giving your Son to die upon the cross. Let us go from here and spread your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.